Well, howdy! Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your hostess, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and what's new this week? Other than the premiere of Combat Robot League on the Sci-Fi Channel, I'm not quite sure. That's not true. The biggest news this week has got to be that Altera just announced a couple days ago that they too are working on an FPGA with Intel and their famous Trigate. Okay, Intel, we all know these are really FinFETs. Could you just say it already? Anyway, Altera will be working with Intel on the 14-nanometer process node. Wait a second. Wasn't it just last week that Achronix announced they are shipping a 22-nanometer Trigate FPGA? Wow. Between Moore's Law and Intel, that's enough to keep a good news editor on her toes. If you want any more information about this ultra-interesting announcement, check out Kevin Morris's editor blog entitled Altera Partners with Intel for 14-nanometer Trigate FPGAs. And you should really comment there and tell us what you think about this announcement. We want to know. Plus, I think Kevin's still a little upset that I scooped him last week on that Achronix deal. Okay, for Fish Fry this week, I'm checking out the parties. I mean, verification technologies at DVCon. That's what I meant. And I'm chatting with Aldeck about their recent collaboration with Hitachi. All right, folks, let's talk DVCon. Did I see anything revolutionary? No. Did I see a whole lot related to design? Not really. I'm thinking this conference should really be called VCon, but that kind of sounds like some kind of roach bait or something. Anyway, good old DVCon, a conference that actual verification engineers get to attend. Instead of slaving away on that design you said you were done with as you boarded that plane to the Caribbean, they unlock the doors and shoo them out of their cubes. Heck, they need some conference time, too. The main expo floor at this year's show, which included complimentary beverages and hors d'oeuvres, and yes, if you were wondering, I'm a big fan of expo hours that include booze and food, was hosted in two adjoining ballrooms at the DoubleTree Hotel in San Jose. And one of those said ballrooms was named Donner Pass, which is also the name, if you didn't know already, of a rather infamous spot in the Sierra Nevada mountains where a bunch of unsuspecting wagon trainers got caught in a snowstorm in 1846 and ended up eating each other. So, here's my question. Not so clever name for a hotel ballroom, or maybe the perfect name for a ballroom holding an EDA conference? What do you think? Donner Pass. Really? The best part of DVCon this year was most definitely the Synopsys VIP party. There were jugglers who amazed us not only with their straight jacket escaping, unicycle riding, juggling skills, yes, really, but also by the sheer number of verification jokes and product placement plugs that they managed to squeak into their act. The main event was a comic and former chip designer, Don McMillan. Attention all PR people from across EE. Book this guy. Now, he's hilarious, and I enjoyed his performance more than any other conference party entertainment that I have ever seen. Seriously. You too can check out Don McMillan's seriously funny brand of EE humor by going to technicallyfunny.com or visiting the link on this week's page. Now let's get down to some more EDA business. This week, my guest is Dmitry Melnik, ALINT product manager at Aldeck, and we're going to talk about Aldeck's recent collaboration with Hitachi and all about the FPGA design challenges they faced. Hello, Dmitry. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Amelia. How are you today?
I'm great. So recently, I read a press release about your collaboration with Hitachi. Tell me more about that.
Oh, no problem. Long story short, back in 2012, we have been working with Hitachi, specifically with Hitachi Cable Division back in Tokyo, Japan, to automate their in-house RTL design guidelines based on our design rule checker, ALIND. Unfortunately, I cannot really disclose any specifics as far as projects that Hitachi's team is currently working on, but there is at least some information I can share, and assuming that we can gossip on anything that's available directly from Hitachi's website. According to their website, Hitachi Cable offers a variety of products, which are ranging from, you know, electric wires to automotive parts and even information network devices. And when someone is doing information network devices, there is a good chance for EDA tools such as Aldi Kaelin come into the picture. So you see, these guys must be working on really high-end FPGAs over there. And I really think that we're talking about humongous multi-FPGA devices that are based on really largest chips available in the market today. And there is a number of challenges when it comes to designs like that.
Sure. So, Dmitry, what do you think are those challenges?
I think there are three key characteristics that any FPGA design team is always targeting to optimize. The first one is routing utilization. Second one would be the performance of the design. And the third one is the power consumption. And inefficiencies in the source code can seriously endanger achievement of these design goals. And while it applies to really any device, regardless its size, efficient coding is especially critical for designs that target larger devices. Let's say we take routing as an example. Sometimes designers just fail to consider that routing is a fixed resource in their FPGA device, and that mismanagement of that resource really negatively impacts the key device characteristics, such as performance and power. And there are really so many things to consider that to help optimize that utilization. And starting from system-level design choices to design entry, coding styles, debug methods, and all these considerations, they're really coming after the same goal. The synthesis and implementation tools, they must make the optimal use of the fixed resource on your target FPGA device. Hey, and by the way, we conducted this webinar on January 24th that discussed some of the coding style considerations for efficient routing in more detail, and there is a recording available at our website.
Cool, I will check that out. So how is ALINT helping Hitachi overcome these challenges?
Well, Hitachi's R&D team, they performed a really diligent evaluation of our ALINT tool over the course of a couple of months, and they gave us lots of feedback, which actually helped us to develop technical specifications for some of the recently added new features and design rules we released at the end of 2012. Based on what I'm really hearing from Hitachi, they have been using ALINT on a daily basis as a part of their RTL review and validation process.
So what about other ALDEC customers? Do you think they experience the same type of challenges?
I would say then that when it comes down to designing a multi-million gate FPGA, there are pretty obvious coding styles, implementation methods, and other design techniques to follow. And all the key FPGA device suppliers, such as Xilinx or Altera, they all have all these great large-scale FPGA methodology guides. Mm-hmm. But even though some of these guides have been around for years, as we can see in practice, not all the guidelines are being used by the actual FPGA design teams nowadays. And moreover, this largest FPGA device is an ever-changing expression. Because of the exponential FPGA device growth, many traditional coding styles are no longer adequate. And this is why more and more FPGA teams are starting to leverage advanced linting tools early in the design flow, at the RTL design phase specifically, when bugs are really easy to fix. So to answer your question, I would say yes, we can see similar trends with some other customers. As designs grow in size and complexity, the RTL becomes increasingly hard to manage, and dedicated tools such as ALINT come especially in handy. And there are literally thousands of checks that we can run in a couple of seconds, saving lots of time that teams would otherwise spend in design reviews. And also, automated reviews, they provide a very consistent quality of results that reduces iterations and speeds up design cycle. That's why we are seeing a strong demand for our ALINT tool and advanced design checks, which are becoming a significant focus area for us in the year of 2013. And to deliver those new advanced checks in the next releases, we'll definitely keep looking up for guidance at Hitachi and other customers that really cutting-edge devices and also believe in starting verification tasks at the very early stages of design flow just as we do.
Great. I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Dimitri. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Familia. Thank you very much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the super fabulous nerdy giveaway, courtesy of our brand new sponsor, Element 14. Welcome, Element 14. Thanks for supporting Fish Fry. But before we get to that, the winner of last week's Microchip T-Chip 003 Chip Kit Starter Pack, courtesy of Mauser, is Lord Low. Enjoy that starter pack, Lord Low. And this week's nerdy giveaway is brought to you by our good friends at Newark Element 14, and I have a Microchip Chip Kit Educational Starter Pack to give away. And yes, you want one. Even if you don't have an electronics engineering background, the ChipKit development platform enables hobbyists and academics to easily and inexpensively integrate electronics into their products. The platform consists of a PIC32-based development board and open-source software that is compatible with the Arduino programming language and development environment. The ChipKit EDU Starter Pack includes a ChipKit U32 board, a ChipKit basic I/O shield, and a PIC-Kit 3 in-circuit debugger and programmer. And, by the way, this kit is on sale at Newark Element 14 for only $84.85 through March 16th of 2013. That's a savings of 30% if you didn't know already, and in case you want to check it out while you register to win another one. This dev kit bundle is one of many available from Newark Element 14, your dev kit headquarters. You can learn more about them at element14.com/devkithq. So this week, listen up, this is rather important, there will be a quiz. Instead of emailing me or posting a comment on this week's page, we have a different way for you to win this super awesome kit. Head on over right now to element14.com/fishfry, and you can enter to win there. I've put a link below the player on this week's EE Journal Fish Fry page if you're listening from there. Or if you've downloaded the podcast, go there now. You know you want to. They're waiting. They have your kit. And you should really check out at Facebook/EEJournal and on Twitter at EEJournalTFM. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to EEJournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, bonus points if there's a good party, and maybe the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of March 1st, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton. Been fried.